why should I live a holy and chaste life? He said, it's because of the grace of God, what God did on our behalf. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. We didn't deserve to be saved. We were condemned, found guilty. All areas pointed to guilty. We were sentenced to death, to die. But for the grace of God, it was God's unmerited favor, his gift to us, that redeemed us and gave us another chance. So he says, why should you live a life that is pleasing God and live a life that you can be able to help and enhance the kingdom of God, increase the kingdom of God? Why should I live that way? Because of what God has done on our behalf. He saved us. And he did not save us to live any kind of way. And there's a stalemate in the church. People don't get excited about God like we used to. We get more excited about the things of the world, ball games and all of that, than we do for God. We do it, but we don't want to do it. We come, but we don't want. God forbid that the world should take the place of him. Yes, we want to enjoy those things. But if we get excited about that, we ought to get even more excited about God, because he's the one that saved us in order that we can enjoy the freedom and the liberty that we have today. He says, because of the grace of God has brought salvation. And then he says, to all men. That means that God, when he came, he didn't say, well, I'm just going over there for the church, these good people over here. But the Bible say in John 3:16, he died for the whole wide world. He sent his son for the whole world. He loved everybody. So the grace of God is available to everybody. But it has to start, what I'm saying is, it's for everybody. But he wants us to be the ones to help share that with others who may not know. And he don't want us to just talk it. He wants us to live it, to walk in it. We are his ambassadors here on this earth realm. And so he says, it has appeared to all men, and then it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to be live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. So the grace of God not only saves us and not only keeps us, but according to the word, it teaches us how to live godly lives. It's in the word. The same grace that saved you is able to teach you how to live godly. It can teach us to say no. Just say no. And we used to tell our kids, just say no to sex. You remember that? Y'all just say no. Say no to drugs and alcohol, sex outside of marriage. No to drugs and alcohol. No to fornication. All right.
It's really gonna be all right.
It's gonna be all right.
No need to worry.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events on the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observe every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318 888-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh for this wonderful opportunity to speak to our hearts and for us to hear your word. Now, Lord, allow the Holy Ghost in his perfect teaching, preaching, ministry to meet us in the text, tailor the truth that we are teaching today, that every hearer's heart might not only hear but heed what you have to say. And as we give way to the perfect power of the preached word, we thank you for what you're going to do in every life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11.
Lord.
Hebrews, chapter 11. I want to read verse 1, but then I really want to launch from verse 6. So beginning at the first verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, recorded are these words. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing and doing of his holy word. This is no unfamiliar text. I've preached this text before, but there is new revelation, and I want you to hear and be in tune to the Spirit as he ministers to you out of this fresh word today. For just a little while, I want to talk about looking beyond the now. Looking beyond the now. If you don't mind, just so that your neighbor heard what I say, turn to him or her and say, neighbor. Pastor say, we're talking about today. Looking beyond the now. Now, if you helped me to do that, give God praise for that, because I need them to hear that. And if whispering in their ears will help, they need to hear this. Praise the Lord. I want you to see some things about this verse and about, as we begin in this 11th chapter, how this is a faith that God has given to us by way of record of many of those who had come and lived before the New Testament times. They reached back into the Old Testament times before they had the word in its entirety, before they had the indwelling person, presence, and power of the Holy Ghost. They had faith in what the prophets of God said to them, and based on what the men and women of God spoke into their hearts and their lives, they simply believed God. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. All you have to do is give ear to the word of God, and the word of God produces faith in the ready hearer's ear. The word of God produces the ability for you to believe if you open up your ears, your heart, and your mind to receive what God has to say. It is through this information that we receive inspiration to be able to enact the very word that God himself has given to us. That's why it's important for you to hear the word, to study the word, to speak the word, because all you do is reinforce the word in your spirit. spirit man and your natural man. One of the things that you've got to realize is faith is a spiritual reality. And so you have got to have a relationship with God in order to delve into the deeper things of faith, to pull from that reality what God wants you to have. It is so important that you must understand that it is how God operates in the natural realm. Your faith is what calls God's attention to your situation, to your cry, to your call. Your faith is what allows the Holy Spirit to bring about the reality of the written, spoken, and read word. Your faith is what believes God has said and God can do, and you expect Him to do it. And that's why the word is so clear. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because if you look at this word, the word makes clear, look at verse 2, for by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. You go back into the Old Testament, you'll see the reason why these elders received a good report is because they operated in faith. See, too many of us operate in fear, and we wonder why, even though we're people of faith, God isn't doing this and God isn't doing that. But it's our fear we operate more than our faith. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Well, how do you get a sound mind? Through the sound word. See, the reason why our minds aren't sound is because we've been hearing too many unsound things. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? Your mind can only be as sound as the substance you put in it. Your bodies can only be as strong as what you feed it and how you exercise it and develop it. And everything about the spiritual realm has to work itself by faith and through the word of God. And so that's why God meets us individually on the level that we're on. Somebody could be in Christ just 1 year and have exercised their faith, the studying of the word, the speaking of the word, the operating in the word, and be stronger than somebody who's been in the word 50 years. Amen. Listen, James admonishes us not to be hearers of the word only, but doers. Yes, sir. Doers. See, it's good to say you heard a word. It's good to be inspired. It's good to be made happy. It's good to rejoice. It's good to shout in here on Sundays. But if you can't put none of this in practice Monday through Saturday, you're not a doer of the word. And as a result, you're not going to have the results of the word. There are a whole lot of things in this word we have heard and we know and we don't do. Amen, lights. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. All God's children are guilty of it. But here's what we need to know. It isn't until we start doing it that we can get what He says we can get. See, just because we sit in church on Sunday for a couple hours don't mean God's going to rain blessings on us, going to open doors for us, going to make ways out of no ways, going to, you know, give us promotions, et cetera, et cetera. So just because we sit up in church. Because the question is, for a whole lot of us, what do you really come to church for? See, it's clear that if there is no victory in your life and there is no joy in your life, and I look at folks sometime on Sunday mornings, man, and my heart goes out because you dressed up looking good and got a sour face. Can't smile, no joy in your heart, can't pat your hands, can't, you know, pat your feet, can't, you just can't do nothing, and then look strange at others who do. I mean, it's strange, but I just wouldn't come to nobody's church. I wouldn't waste my time taking a shower, putting on my clean clothes to go set up in anybody's church and would not expect God to speak to my heart and change my situation. I just wouldn't waste my time. Because here's the truth. If I'm not operating in faith, He ain't gonna do nothing anyhow, because He knows I'm not a worshiper. I'm just a spectator. And some folk just come to spectate. That's all. They're not operating in faith. They just come to spectate. Let me go see what them fools gonna do today. Because you got to realize faith to the world is foolish in God. To believe in a God you can't see. To hear a God that is not audible, speaking in the words that are a verbal that you can hear with the natural ear. You know, they don't believe in a whole lot of the divine realities of God. And so you got to realize it looks foolish to them. For you to laugh, and ain't nothing funny. For you to get up and run, and ain't nobody behind you. For you to be going through, and you almost in the midst and grips of hell, but you're praising like you're already in heaven. It don't make sense to them to know that if they knew what you were going through, why would you be opening your mouth and acting like you've already overcome, like you're a victim? It don't make no sense to shout till after the battle is over to the world, but when you're a believer, you can shout even before you go in the battle. And don't fool yourself. When you've got it right underneath the skin, there are folk who watch your witness and they really wish they could have what you have. Don't fool yourself. They may laugh now, but the truth of the matter is they wish they could be enjoying Jesus like you enjoy him. Uninhibited. You ain't all tight and tensed. You aren't afraid to open up your mouth. It's amazing how when we get in here, we get like church mouses. Some of the biggest mouth people scream, holler, talk to the height of their lungs at a game or here or there. But when it come into the house of the Lord, you can't pry their little to say amen. You ain't got to say amen. I know I'm right about this. So when you begin to recognize now faith, now is so important because it literally sets the tenor and the tone for the rest of this verse and, as a matter of fact, this chapter. Because everybody who it speaks about is in the present reality or was in the present reality when they operated in faith. And one of the things you've got to recognize about this, and I love this, is that you have got to recognize the power in the word now. Now, a whole lot of us sooner or later get faith. But God don't operate until it's now faith. You've got to reach a level where your expectation is even with your faith. God meets you not where your expectation is only, but where your expectation built upon the faith is. See, you've got to begin to believe God at his word, not logically trying to figure out, this don't make sense, God. 1 + 1 = 2. And I understand that, but it doesn't seem like it adds up right when it comes to your mathematics. What you got to understand is God is not limited to our mathematics. He has the ability to add by subtracting. To multiply by dividing. You don't understand. God's mathematics are altogether different from ours. We can give all that we have, and if it's not done in faith, we will not reap the benefits, like he said. But then you can give a little bit in faith, and it be all you have. And Jesus say, she, the widow woman, with her two mites, gave in more than all those who had much. Faith. Now listen to this. Let me go to Hebrews 6. I'll come back to that word now. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, listen, but without faith, because, we know that faith is the substance. Listen at this. Substance has to do with that is substantive, that has some something to it, something that has weight or worth to it. Substance. It's the substance. Faith is the substance. In other words, even though it's in the spirit realm, it's got substance. Right. See, in other words, even though it's spoken out of the mouth, believed in the heart, coming from and founded on the word of God, it has substance because you've attached your belief system to it. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. Listen to this. Hoped for. See, you use faith for stuff you hope for. Now listen to this. This is what seems to be contrary. The evidence of things not seen. Mean it's evidence what I'm hoping for ain't here right now. It's evident. It's evident I'm not in the presence of what I want right now, because if I had what I wanted right now, I wouldn't have to hope for it. I wouldn't need faith for it. So I need to have enough faith, enough substance in the word of God, enough belief in the word of God, enough weight in the word of God, enough worth in the word of God to believe that by faith I'm going to receive those things. And then I hope for them. And faith and hope are tag team partners. You can have faith, but if you're not hoping for it, meaning expecting, looking for it, then it will not manifest itself as such. But look again at what it says, verse 6. But without faith, somebody say without faith.
Without
faith. Here's what God's word says. It is impossible. Mission impossible. If you don't have faith, you don't even need to think you're pleasing God. You can be in church as long as you want, come to as many services as you want to come to, pay your tithes, give your offerings, do all of the things, work on committees, be in this ministry and that ministry. But if you are not operating in faith, the word says you are not pleasing God. But without faith, it is impossible. Anybody knows what impossible means? That means it won't happen. It's not going to be or to become.
Yes, sir.
Listen at this. God knows what is real. He knows above and underneath the skin what is real in you. He knows your motives. He knows your desire. He knows your heart. He knows your belief system. You cannot fool God. So while you may play games with me and others in the church and around and act like you got faith, the end result is you ought to have some signs to prove it. James said, you want to see my faith? Look at what I've done. My works speak for me. My works say I have faith. If you want to really know what real faith is, you ought to have some proof to show you've got faith.
Yes.
Everybody talking about they've got faith. Well, the question is, where are your works? Because your works speak for you. You see certain things, you have to wonder whether or not folk had faith to do that, because the evidence is right there before you. Look at that. God produced that. God opened that door. God made that way. Where is your works? James makes that clear. Then he says, listen, if you don't really have faith, don't think God's going to do nothing for you. If you're vacillating and wavering, you believe him today. But this happened, then you stop believing him. Then you get a little more word, then you believe him the next day. And just when he's getting ready to break through, you stop believing him. No. He says, don't think that you will receive, that man will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Double-minded meaning that you believe one moment and not the next moment. Double-minded is very close to double standards, because you're dealing with the flesh and the spirit, and double-mindedness means that you have a tendency to deal with both of them at the same time. And the flesh and the spirit works diametrically opposite of each other. So if you're going to believe in the spirit, you're going to have to close your eyes to many of the things of the flesh. If you walk in the flesh, you're going to have to close your eyes to the things of the spirit, because the flesh is going to discourage you too much. You've got to have the kind of faith to say, it doesn't matter what I see. It doesn't matter what I hear. It doesn't matter what the devil is doing. I believe God. I want you to see this word. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. I think it does us well to recognize that the kind of faith that pleases God, and you need to know this, is a trifold reality. It must be first firm faith. Secondly, it must be founded faith. And then thirdly, it must be forthright faith. God said it, you believe it because He said it. Your faith is inspired by the Word of God. It's not about feelings and emotions, it's what He said. But then there are three things about your faith that confirms that it is real. And I want you to write these down if you're writing. First, it means that that faith that pleases God is tried faith. Tried. It ain't just talking faith. It's walking faith. It's feet on your faith that literally delivers what it is you believe. Secondly, it's got to be tested faith. You see, because a whole lot of us can shout when we're happy, but can we shout when we're sad? A lot of us can shout when we're on the mountaintop, but can we shout when we're going through the valley? You're going to have to go through some tests. And see, that's what you don't recognize. When you say you have faith, when you say, I believe God, God says, okay, now here is his declaration, confession. Now the enemy says, God, you know that person ain't going to do that. Then God allows them to be tested. Limiting the enemy, go back to the book of Job chapter 1 and you'll see that. Limiting the enemy, what he can do to every believer in their test. But your faith must be tested. So know this, that if you really have faith, you are going to be tested. It ain't really for God, it's for the devil to believe that you are who God says you are. And then the third thing about that faith that pleases God is that it has to be true faith. True as in pure. True as in real. Not false. Not hypocritical, not phony, but true. And so that is the kind of faith that pleases God. Why is that so important? Because it is through this kind of faith that assures God that you are operating on a higher level than the flesh level, that you're not subject to the appetites and passions and lusts and fears of the flesh, but you are operating in the spirit while holding on to what God says, believing God and trusting God and depending on God to bring to pass what He says. It's when you choose rather to go above the things of the world and hold on to the things of the Word that pleases God, because God knows then you've got a right focus on the things that matter the most. Listen at this. When we are looking beyond the now, it takes faith now, but it takes an even greater faith to move beyond now. One of the things about faith is it has a multiplicity of traits and characters and characteristics, rather. And it has the ability to show you whatever it is you need to see, to experience, to enjoy, beginning now. So many times we miss the joy of operating in faith because we are waiting until the manifestation to start our celebration, when faith brings the end result of that thing to us in the present so that we could really start the joy and enjoyment of the thing that we're waiting on. How much more would you enjoy a blessing if you didn't have to wait till it came to start enjoying it? See, people in the world got to wait till it gets there to start enjoying it. But people in the Word can begin enjoying it the minute they put their petition in before God and know that He has heard their cry, their prayer, their request, and begin at that time starting to thank Him and praise Him and give Him glory, because they then start walking by faith as if they already have it. They already know it's on the way, so they prepare their lives for it. They get themselves together and they live it on a whole nother level. That's what faith produces in you, the ability to begin enjoying what God says now, not waiting until the actuality or the manifestation fully for it to come. The faith, the spirit realm, has the ability to pull the end up to the beginning, which means you don't have to wait to see how the story's going to end. God shows it to you now. Now, what I love about the Lord is, because it's a faith walk, He'll show you the end, but then He'll tell you, you're going to have to walk with me to get the details.